I am constantly being asked by conscientious Christian couples a question that often runs like this. What responsibility do I as a concerned Christian have to limit my family in view of the impending population explosion? And as we think together about the subject before you tonight, I trust we'll be able to tie it into that question and find the answer. Because we cannot discuss our responsibility in relation to the impending population explosion without evaluating it and learning exactly what it does constitute and how it does affect our individual lives. So before we look at the Word of God tonight, I would like for us to consider some things that are related to the subject as these things have been suggested by people who seem to have searched out the question and found what they believe to be answers to the problem. I would like for us to consider tonight, first of all, the reason for concern. Do we just dismiss this question and say, oh, that's ridiculous? Forget about it. Or do we say, well now, how serious is this question? Is there any real reason for concern? Evidently some folk think there is. Upon what are they basing their concern? Is it worthy enough for us to base some concern upon as well? Examining the information that is available to men on the basis of statistics, we would say that some men are concerned because of what appears to be the sudden growth of our population. And statistically, the growth has been sudden because from the beginning of history until 1830, only 1 billion people were born to live upon this earth. But from 1830 to 1930, just 100 years, the 2 billion people made its appearance on the earth. And then, from 1930 until 1960, a very brief span of time, the 3 billion people made its appearance upon the earth. And from 1960 until 1966, the 4 billion people made its appearance upon the earth. And if you tabulate hurriedly what we have presented to you, you will recognize that the growth of population worldwide has indeed been sudden. Now, there are reasons for it, but basically the reason is that man's life has been prolonged due to medical science advancement, and birth rate has not been curtailed in the same proportion. So men say the sudden growth of population upon the earth is indeed a subject for concern. Now when men become concerned, they begin to get busy with pencil and paper and project various figures to endeavor to see what the earth will be like some years from now, if it is what it is now. And so we find another reason for concern that we have labeled projected growth. The projected growth as far as population is concerned. Demographers, that is, men who evaluate or compute the number of people who will be upon the earth, suggest to us that by the year 2000, which you see is not very far away, there will be 7 billion people upon the earth. And they suggest to us that this increase is at the rate of 2.5% compounded annually. So that when they put it down in figures, it seems to be startling indeed, because they suggest that there will be a net gain each day based upon 330,000 people being born, 140,000 people dying, 190,000 people remaining. A net gain in the populations, the growth of population each day of 190,000 people. So you can see why they're concerned as they project figures to that distance in the future. And they feel that the population growth along the line which we have suggested to you will create additional problems, because there is not only the matter of mere numbers to be considered, but there is what they are pleased to refer to as related problems in relation to population expansion. What are some of these related problems which concern them? Well, one of them is related to space. When we use the word space, we are following their suggestion and indicate that this old world may not be big enough for us all if growth continues to go along in the same way that we have been suggesting. For example, they say that by the year 2050, there will be 1 foot of standing room for every person who is upon the earth. And they suggest that by the year 3050, the earth will literally cave in because of the sheer weight of people upon it. Another related problem to population growth, they feel, is in the field of food. And they suggest that we cannot produce enough food upon this earth to feed the people who are upon the earth, because the population is increasing on the basis of 2.5% per year, but food production is increasing only at the rate of 1% a year. Looking at these figures, it is indeed startling and something that promotes concern, if this is all you have to consider. Another area, of course, is what we have summarized by the word environment. You are hearing today much of pollution, much of how the earth and the air is being polluted by the people who live upon it. If the density of population at the present rate of 4 billion is projecting a problem, then we have reason to wonder how much greater the pollution will be as it increases at the same rate. If men today feel that the people who are living upon the earth are making it uninhabitable because of the things they are doing, imagine what it will be like when the population has reached the total of 7 billion. Now, these things which I have presented to you thus far are the things that demographers and statisticians present as the reason for concern. You are a thinking people. I believe that you probably wouldn't be interested in the messages at the Bible Center if you were not a thinking people, because certainly we do not just entertain you when you come here. We endeavor to give you something about which you can think, whether you agree with it or not. So since you are a thinking people, if you have given any consideration to this problem at all, you are not going to just accept these facts I have given you at their face value without reacting in some way. I hope your reaction will be a sensible one. But perhaps before you can pinpoint actually what your reaction will be, it would be wise for us to consider what the normal reaction to the problem of the population explosion is, as it is based upon figures which I have just presented to you. And I have one word to describe the ordinary common reaction to this problem. Everything I read, everywhere I go and discuss this subject, this is the word that comes to mind: hysteria. People are hysterical about this particular problem when they realize that there may be something to it. The hysteria takes a number of different forms. One hysterical response to the problem of population explosion I have described by the two words genetic board, for it has been suggested that a board of gynecologists be set up and they pass upon how many people be born into the world and what kind of people should be born into the world. As a matter of fact, in the Los Angeles Times of June the 4th, 1964, Professor Bentley Glass of Johns Hopkins University is reported as suggesting a plan similar to the following. He suggests that a man and a woman who planned to marry would visit a genetic clinic where chemical tests would be given to show if they were likely to have defective children. If these tests showed that there was a possibility of defective children, they would not be granted a license to have children. But if they did pass the test, they would be issued a marriage license which would grant them the right to have one child automatically. And the family would get a tax exemption for that child. A second child, would be licensed, but there would not be a tax exemption for him. And then a third child would be licensed too, though there would not be a second exemption, but instead they would be fined, so to speak, or taxed $600 for having the child, in the sense that $600 would be added to their taxable income. Penalties for producing unlicensed children, unlicensed babies, would be very severe. Dr. Glass has suggested that sterilization would be a punishment to fit the crime. There are other suggestions which have been made relative to curbing population explosion, and they were suggested in a speech which the Associated Press of September the 4th, 1969 reported, when Dr. Robert H. Harper of the American spoke to the American Psychological Association and said that the world nations should remove from their people the right to reproduce. He suggested that the only solution to the global population is the removal of this right. Practical maneuvers to make possible compliance with the removal of this right, he thinks, would be available in a few years. Those maneuvers would include such things as putting into water and food temporary sterilization chemicals, so that the population explosion, so-called, could be controlled by the government of the respective nations of the world. Other suggestions have been made for curbing the population explosion on the basis of what I have been pleased to call hysteria. One of them is the governmental distribution of the pill without charge to anybody at all. Another suggestion would be a voluntary legal abortion on the part of children, on the part of parents who discovered that the wife and the prospective mother was pregnant. Another suggestion would be the matter of taxes, a tax upon all children in excess of two, heavy taxes on all kinds of baby goods, cribs and baby toys and bottles and diapers and so forth. Bonuses and tax exemptions for couples who delayed their marriages. And what is known as a responsibility prize for all male and female who would submit to sterilization, thus recognizing their responsibility to cut down on the population explosion. Now, I think this evening, if you are thinking, surely you can recognize that such proposals amount to hysteria. Surely the population explosion, so-called, could not be serious enough in its consequences to permit the suggestions which I have presented to you. Now, these suggestions which I have presented to you actually are but a summary of detailed suggestions which have been made and which individuals are propagating with a great deal of emphasis. We are talking about the reaction to the impending population explosion. We have suggested to you that one reaction is the reaction of hysteria. The other reaction which we would like to suggest is possible is the reaction of realism. Dare we be realistic about this instead of hysterical? Can we be realistic about this instead of hysterical? And I would like to emphasize to you that after very careful consideration of the subject, I am convinced not only we may be realistic about it, but all thinking Christians ought to be realistic about it instead of hysterical. If we are realistic, we will not fall into the vortex of problems which those who are hysterical will fall into. How can we be realistic? First, I would suggest that we be realistic by taking a factual approach to the subject. Now, what am I talking about? A factual approach. I'm talking about recognizing the facts as they are. And the basic fact is, we are not threatened with destruction due to overpopulation. Let me emphasize that. Because we are prone to swallow what so-called authorities propose they know. And I say to you that in spite of all the statistics which you may have read, which seem so alarming, we are not threatened with destruction because of overpopulation. Dr. Donald Bogue, a respected demographer from the University of Chicago, has made an interesting suggestion worthy of consideration, and that is, in the United States, population is already beginning to level off. And he predicts, on the basis of his statistics, which certainly should be as good as statistics of other respectable demographers, that our population in the United States will level off at 220 million. And of course, the nations of the world can be expected to level off, he feels, proportionately. Another interesting thing related to the problem of space, at which we looked a bit earlier, comes to our attention in the comment from Professor Carl Brandt of Stanford University. He has been reported in the Los Angeles Times as saying, "Some overpopulation pundits talk in the usual hysterical manner about standing room only somewhere in the future." This term might represent some sort of absolute, even though it is a rather unrealistic and improbable one. Even if the present world population were 4 billion persons, simple arithmetic would show that we could give each person a 2-foot square plot for standing room only. And you recall a moment ago, the suggestion was made that eventually there will only be 1 square foot of room. And he continues, "We could put the whole of the Earth's present population within a plot 30 miles square. And if you are familiar with the matter of space, you see how ridiculous the claim that there will not be space enough on this earth for people who live upon it. You recall another related problem we brought to your attention was on the subject of food, that because the population is expanding at the rate of 2.5% and food is expanding only at the rate of 1%, there will not be enough food for people on the earth. The United Nations Food Agricultural Organization, no less, was reported in the Los Angeles Times of February the 12th, 1970, as saying, quote, "The food problem facing the world in the near future is not likely to be surpluses than starvation." And certainly this organization should know more about the subject than the other folk who are dabbling in it, hit or miss. Now, we have shown you the factual approach to the problem of population explosion. The factual approach simply means that when you look at the facts, then the statistics of the hysterical folk are tremendously overdrawn, and they are not rooted in actual fact themselves. I would like to suggest to you tonight, because we are believers, because we have the Word of God, even if statistics did not wash each other out, as I have suggested to you by the presentation of these facts, even if statistics did not wash each other out, we still would have no cause for concern, because we seek for our answers not in a matter of statistics, not in a matter of factual approach, but rather in the matter of a scriptural approach. In anything in which we are interested, though it is important to examine the facts and be well informed, the final decision must be based upon the Word of the Living God. If you followed me tonight, I've suggested to you that if you are concerned about the population explosion, factually, you do not need to be concerned. But more important than the factual presentation which we have given to you is, what does the Word of God have to say about it? I would like for you, if you will, to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. The book of Isaiah, chapter 45, as I suggest to you that here in this portion of the Word of God, we have one of the reasons why we do not need to be concerned. And the reason is, we have an omniscient Creator. When I speak of an omniscient Creator, I am speaking not of a first cause, which some people who want to believe in evolution and believe in the Bible at the same time offer as a reason for the beginning of the earth. I'm not speaking of a first cause which brought creation into being and then forgot all about it. I am speaking of an omniscient Creator who very carefully designed the earth, designed it on the basis of His omniscience. It is an insult to my God to suggest that when He designed the earth, He miscalculated. That when He designed the earth, He miscalculated to such an extent that in the year 2000, there would only be 1 foot of standing room per person. And in the year 3050, the crust of the earth would cave in because of the weight of the population upon it. If you have arrived at Isaiah chapter 45, will you glance down, please, at verse 18, where we read, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. This passage of Scripture speaks of the omniscient Creator who very carefully designed the earth and designed it to be inhabited, not to be overpopulated, but to be inhabited according to His own plan and according to His own purpose. This omniscient Creator could not have made a mistake. And I suggest to you that if you permit yourself to fall into the vortex of untruth which is being presented all around you today, then your own faith will be weakened and you will begin to wonder if God made a mistake about the earth, if possibly He could have made a mistake about heaven too. If you swallow all this about the earth being inadequate, what assurance do you have that when you knock at the proverbial pearly gates, they won't say to you, "I'm sorry, I just love to open the gates wide and permit you, but we're overcrowded here. We just don't have room enough for you." You might plead as much as you like about the finished work of Christ and about the fact that you had the assurance that you would enter there. If people follow the line of reasoning that hysterical folk wish you to follow, then your faith could be so undermined that you would question whether you could even get into heaven or not. I beg to suggest to you, on the basis of the fact that our God is the omniscient Creator who could not make a mistake in relation to the size of the earth, did not create an earth that will be overpopulated. Another thing that we need to keep in mind is what I have been pleased to refer to as the government of God. God is so governing this world that if it reaches the place where it will be polluted beyond the possibility of living, God Himself will do something about it. We won't ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 6 tonight, but an illustration is found there of an eternal principle. When God looked upon the earth and saw that it was doing only wicked continually, that it became a stench in His own nostrils, because He has a right as sovereign God to carry out His governmental principles upon the earth, as you know, He sent the flood, and in sending the flood, took care of the problem of pollution in Noah's day. I beg to suggest of you today that you do not need to be overly concerned about the matter of population explosion if you have confidence in your omniscient Creator and if you are aware of the principles of the government of God. One other thing I would like to suggest to you this evening relative to the fact that you need not be concerned if you are a Bible-believing Christian, and that thought is that God has scheduled a number of events which are irrevocable, which would make impossible the fulfillment of these statistics, even if they were authentic. And I would like to refresh your minds tonight about some of these scheduled events. They are familiar to you, and all we need to do is relate them to the subject at hand. The first one that we would call to your attention, I have designated by the word rapture. Now, the word rapture, as you know, is not found in God's Word, but it is a word we use to describe that event described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the Lord God is going to catch up out of this world someday the body of Christ, all born again believers. Now, as I understand the Scripture, there is no thing that needs to be fulfilled from the standpoint of prophecy before this event is fulfilled. Men are looking at the year 2000 as a significant date in relation to the population explosion. And as a matter of fact, the history of the world has revolved around 2,000-year periods of happening. They may be looking for catastrophe by the year 2000 without implying the setting of dates. I am looking for something more wonderful than that, the rapture before or on the year 2000. Again, I emphasize, I'm not setting a date. I'm talking about the signs of the times. What has the rapture to do with the population explosion? If you keep in mind that all babies who have not reached the age of accountability will be included in the rapture. If you keep in mind that we are not talking about the church membership of the United States, but we're talking about all born-again believers the world around. We are talking about individuals who have placed their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. A huge number of people will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And if, hypothetically, the earth is a bit crowded to the point of standing room only, if, hypothetically, the earth is a bit crowded to the point of caving in the crust thereof, we suggest to you that the rapture of the church will provide an interesting solution because it is one of God's scheduled events. Another of God's scheduled events I have described by the phrase, the birth pangs of a new age. And I refer to what is described in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, when the Lord Jesus Christ said there would be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences, and famines. True, these have existed down through the ages, but this passage of Scripture, examined in the light of the context, indicates that they will increase with intensity and represent the birth pangs of a new age. Because before the new age, toward which our hearts look longingly, actually occurs upon the earth, the birth pangs must be felt before the new age is brought to the birth. Now, whether we will see these birth pangs in their intensity or not, I have no way of knowing, but I do know that the hypothetical statistics concerning overpopulation will never be fulfilled on the basis of our God's scheduled events, which cannot be revoked. Another of God's scheduled events I have termed tribulation judgments. These tribulation judgments are described in the book of the Revelation, beginning with the 6th chapter and going on through the 19th chapter. We will not have time to look at all of the various passages of Scripture involved, but I would like to suggest to you that in the 6th chapter of the book of the Revelation, when the fourth horseman of the apocalypse rides forth, he rides forth with the express purpose of taking many people from the earth through pestilences, earthquakes, and wars. Now you understand when we speak of the tribulation, we are speaking of that period of time which is scheduled to come upon the earth after the church has gone. Are you thinking tonight? The rapture takes a tremendous number of people out of the earth. The birth pangs of a new age will take a tremendous number of people. And then when tribulation judgments really get underway, a great number, when the fourth horseman of the apocalypse rides forth, will be taken from the earth. When the second trumpet of Revelation 8:9 sounds, a third part of all of the people left upon the earth will be destroyed. When the third trumpet of Revelation 8, verses 10 and 11 sounds, many, and the word is an unlimited number, of people will die because the waters of the earth will be poisoned when a great meteor falls out of heaven into the source of the water supply of the earth. Many, an unlimited, unestimable number, will die. When the sixth angel sounds his trumpet, the four angels who have been tied in the river Euphrates are loosed, according to Revelation 9:15, and a third part of the men yet remaining upon this earth will be destroyed. And then, of course, the battle of Armageddon will take a tremendous number of men. So you see, You have no real need to worry about a population explosion. It is an utter impossibility according to God's scheduled events, which when they are fulfilled will present the interesting statement that is found in the book of Isaiah chapter 4. And I do not know of a more summary statement anywhere in the scripture related to the subject at hand than that, because in Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible says that the population of the earth will reach such a low ebb that in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." I say I do not know of a more striking way to present the fact that you have no need to be concerned about impending disaster because of a population explosion. The population of the earth will be so limited that men will be very, very scarce by and by. Now, these are the facts, and we need to look at them factually and scripturally instead of hysterically wondering what our position ought to be. Now, if you take the factual, scriptural position to all of this talk about overpopulation and environmental pollution, you surely will recognize that the source of this hysteria is satanic. And once you fix that in your mind, that the devil is back of all of this talk that you hear, you will not want, as a believer, to be involved in anything that will further the satanic program, which is going to involve the surrender of individual rights. For mark what I tell you, if you get on the bandwagon of the population explosion adherents, if you get on the bandwagon of the pollution nuts, and I don't know how else to explain it, you will be on the verge of surrendering your individual rights. I challenge you to read and research as much as I have, and if you do, you will discover that the whole outcome of all of this will be what I'm talking about, the surrender of individual rights, because the only solution that I have noticed, which is proffered by those who are concerned, is governmental control of even the amount of toilet paper that you use in your own home. This is getting close to taking away all the rights that we have. Now, I would like to suggest to you that if you recognize that this is satanic, then you will recognize that if you are not very careful, you will be putting your place, yourself, in the place of usurping God's power. You recall that Satan did that, and for that reason, he was cast out of heaven. And since that time, he has been endeavoring to cause men in various fields to usurp the power of God. And one of the most interesting statements along that line, which seems to me to be a normal reaction to the suggestion that we decide how many people are going to enter the world, that we decide how many children any individual has a right to have. I say, it seems to me, the most sensible action to those suggestions is recorded in the 30th chapter of the book of Genesis. In verse 1 you read, "When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, Give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, Am I in God's stead?" who hath withheld fruit from of the womb? And the phrase in which I am primarily interested is, am I in God's stead? Who are men? Most of them godless, atheistic unbelievers who would dare to take the place of God and regulate the growth of population. The question, what responsibility do I, as a concerned Christian, have in limiting my family in the light of the impending population explosion? I say to you, friend, that if you want to limit your family, that is between you and God. I trust that you will give it very prayerful consideration. But do not fall into this satanic trap of taking the place of God and limiting the population of the earth in an effort to make this planet more livable. My omniscient God has planned very well, and we really have nothing to be concerned about. Shall we bow our heads together for prayer? We do thank thee, Father, for the realization today we have that thou doest all things well. Provoke those of us who love thee and understand thy word to be well grounded in these pertinent sociological questions and not be caught up in the vortex of hysteria which seems to have gripped most of the world. Help us to give a factual, scriptural response to all such questions. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.